Welcome to the Friends with Opinions podcast, episode 12. Today I'm joined by my good friend Jaideep Kanungo, and we're just catching up on some things going on in the NHL, including the World Cup of Hockey and a breaking news trade between the Minnesota Wild and the Carolina Hurricanes. And we also check in on the Edmonton Oilers. So thanks for joining us.
What's going on?
Hey, JD, what's shaking, buddy?
Not much. Just going over some of the news from the World Cup fallout.
Yeah, the World Cup. So what are your thoughts? I saw you had quite a volcanic-like take on an athletic comment section.
Yeah, it's disappointing to me because, I think when people are talking about the World Cup being canceled, they're like, oh, and this is what this means for the CBA negotiations, right? But they're not talking about like what this means, like how hockey fans are being deprived of watching best on best international competition, right? Last true best on best would have been 2014. It's going to be like 8 years, and we're not even sure if they're going to go to the Olympics in 2022, right? And their whole argument for like not going to the Olympics in 2018 was, oh, well, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to do the World Cup. And when they just sort of like cancel it, it's ridiculous how we're being deprived of that. Like right now, all the best.
And how do they, all the best, sorry, go ahead.
Have like exceptional talent, like top end elite talent. We talked about it last week, Finland, Sweden, Russia.
Finland has arrived. It's a real top five now.
We're not going to be able to see that. So that's a bit of a joke. Oh, and
I agree. And I think the thing is with the World Cup of Hockey, it's like they expect us to care and shell out all kinds of cash when it rolls around, a couple of years ago. But then clearly they don't care if they just some benign press will release, oh, it's not going to happen. We're scrapping it. Like, is there a thought it might not even come back, right? It might even just become a whole other beast if ever they come back with World Cup as being a name for hockey.
Yeah, like 2004, they had the World Cup, and then they brought it back 12 years later. And then it was just sort of like the importance of it was lost. And the same thing's happening. Like, it's just basically devalued the entire tournament, right? So that's good. Yeah. So anyways, there's a trade actually that's just happened. It's come down the news wire.
Breaking news? Yeah,
So today's breaking news is Minnesota Wild. They've traded forward Nino Niederreiter to the Carolina Hurricanes for Victor Rask.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Wow, breaking news. I did not even see that. I was just on the Twitter feed.
So I guess Niederreiter this year, not great year this year. 46 games played, only 9 goals, 23 points.
Yeah.
And then Victor Rask, I think, has sort of been a bit underwhelming this year as well.
But I think it's probably like two players they're hoping for. It's like a change of scenery trade, right? Like, they're hoping that a change of scenery is going to bring them up, but it's also like a center for a winger type situation. I don't know. It's tough to assess players like Niederreiter because when he first came into the league, remember like his first year, he had like 40 games. He had like literally 0 points. Like, people were amazed at how he was able to like accomplish just 0 points. Like, you can't just get a lucky bounce where you make a neutral zone pass and then, your teammate goes up. But he has had some good years. He's got that power forward game. So I think Niederreiter has some potential there, and Rask, he's kind of somebody that I never really thought would have too much, a top end talent, but he has been put in like a top six role for Carolina and produced when he's put in that role. But he's, to me, he's kind of like one of these guys that like good stats on a bad team.
Well, so this year Rask has 6 points in 26 games. So he's probably been hurt a little bit. So we talked about, I remember a few weeks ago, we talked about Strome for Spooner, guys that are in their mid 20s that, there's a lot of potential for both of these guys. And now that they're 25, 26, they're sort of like, teams are just like, this guy isn't that great. So they try and get the next sort of reclamation project. They know these guys are sort of plateaued. and they are what they are. There's not much room now for growth.
Yeah, and I guess just like digesting this this news, just I mean, Carolina to me is kind of like a boring team. Like they're not exciting. They're not like game center got a team that I'm going to be looking for. But the Wild, I feel like, have had this potential, and they've had, every so often it's like these teams become like the vaunted prospect pipeline, but then the team itself doesn't really happen. Like the Florida Panthers have been that quite a bit. The St. Louis Blues with like Kyrou and everything. And then I feel like Minnesota has been that team too, where they have, Luke Cunningham, Joel Eriksson-Ek. And I'm interested to see now with Niederreiter gone. I'm not actually sure like how much Niederreiter was playing or where in the lineup, but I think this is going to elevate Jordan Greenway, who's a fan of. So I'm interested to see like with Niederreiter gone, then it might impact Greenway, one of the Wild's like top prospects we kept hearing about. And then the other thing is Rask being a center, maybe he's going to slide into the third line, which is where Joel Eriksson-Ek, I think, was playing. And because you got, Koivu and Stahl. And then maybe Eriksson-Ek, I think he's been sent down to the minors recently. So he's been a bit of a disappointment in that he was a top prospect and they're trying to get him in the third line and kind of work his way up. But the offense doesn't seem to come. So I think this trade really like impacts a few things for which young players are kind of being favored in Minnesota. It seems like Greenway over Eriksson-Ek in the totem pole, I guess, right now. But, Eriksson-Ek is still young. He's a really big player, and he's rangy, and he does have some offensive ability, seemingly. But, yeah, so, I don't know, Niederreiter. I mean, again, yeah, these two players are, like, so hot and cold. Like, when they're hot, they're great. They're good. They're really good. But they can just go so cold. It's like, what can you do with a player when they just absolutely crater, on the roster? And I think it's, like, interesting to see the Habs sending a guy like Alzner down a big contract where it's like, hey, like it's actually a detriment to have you in the lineup. So we're not going to just keep parading you out there just because you have a big figure on your salary. And I think probably more and more teams, as the NHL just competitiveness keeps rising, maybe they'll start looking at that more.
GMs have to become more ruthless, right? Because if you're pushing.
And I think this whole developing a player, like developing a prospect in the NHL, like, even Eriksson-Ek, like as a third line, I just don't agree with it. If they're not ready, then they're not going to necessarily develop, in the NHL. I just feel like their confidence is going to get shattered in that. So,
I mean, obviously, the thing with Minnesota as well, they've always been sort of a middle to above average team. So they never really draft the absolute studs. I guess Matt Dumba would be a potential.
Yeah,
stud.
He was a. Yeah, but, I think he's impressive. They have a good team. They have good depth, but they just can't reach that upper echelon elite level.
But it's because
I think the difference maker that they need and they're probably waiting for, but might be not until 2020 type thing, is that Kirill Kaprizov. I think if he came over, in my opinion, he would instantly be their best player. And he would just raise all the boats on their team, and I think he could be a game changer for them.
I think so, eh? So right now, so
I think he's electric.
Yeah, KHL, 32 points, 45 games played.
Yeah.
He's also like a type of guy that I think is sort of like, why was he not a high draft pick, right? I think.
Well, the reason is because he's, when was he drafted? And he's like,
he's a fifth round pick. So in 2015 is a fifth round pick.
Yeah, exactly, though. But 2015, right now it's 2019. And I just said he might not come back until 2020. I think when they're drafting, the timeline of when the player would be ready factors into the draft position.
I'm just
it's not just top
guy,
end talent,
A guy right now that's 21 years old is he's actually third on his team in scoring right now with CSKA Moscow. So Mikhail Gregorenko leading the team in scoring, 41 points, 44 games. Lyndon Vay, Vancouver Canucks fame, is second in scoring, 33 points in 45 games. Kaprizov, 32 points.
It's hard to say, though, like not knowing the context of like the league and KHL. Like, is he on a good team, a bad team? Do they have a good power play? Like, is there missing a huge piece on the power play? Like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of hard to judge. I'm more like, looking See, at like, when I've seen him play, like, he's just sure. electric.
I mean, I would have said the same for Mikael Granlund when he was coming up. He was considered the best player.
He's a very good player, though, right
now. He is, but he's not, like, he's a great player. He's actually almost a point a game, just under a point a game. So it's maybe, like, a 70-point player, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It is, but so that's the thing with the Minnesota Wild, though. They don't have that, like, one of the elite players in the NHL.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And that's why they're a mid-league
team. Parise and Suter were supposed to be that, right?
Yeah.
They took their big swing with them, with those two players, which I think especially Suter, I mean, I don't think that's worked out poorly at all. I guess Parise's had injuries, and yeah, he's definitely not the same player he was when he was in New Jersey, but that just might be like expected age. I don't know how much of I think like Devin Dubnyk is part of the problem, in my opinion.
Part
as well,
of the problem, I think he props that team up actually quite a bit. He's always
I'm a little bit biased in my opinion on him, but it's just it's for me my problem with his game is that when things are going bad, his body language is just so bad, and I just as a fan of him when he was on the Oilers. And like when he let a goal in, and just his whole body would just slouch to the ice, it like you know kind of knocked me down a peg in terms of my energy level. Never mind like his own team. And then he lets in 2-3, and then the same body language is just like, okay, well.
But you know what?
We can't do anything here.
I think like since he left Edmonton, there's been he's been in Minnesota now since 2015. I would say, 2015 is with Arizona, I could trade to Minnesota. I think he's got enough body of work right now where he's actually been probably one of the best goalies in the NHL over the last 4 or 5 years.
I agree on the numbers. I agree with you that on the numbers, if you look at it as a whole, game to game, I'm not necessarily saying he's the problem, but like I don't have much confidence in this team's ability to win the cup. And for me, it's like when it comes down to a 7-game series and you see the same shooters night after night, I think the shooters could figure him out in a series, and then once he cracks, then you like the whole it's going to demoralize the whole team, in my opinion. So I agree with you though that in terms of if you look at just the raw numbers,
he's got a 921
he's the problem there.
Save percentage with the Minnesota Wild over his 4.5-5 seasons there. And I think if you're to look over that time span, that's probably one of the best goals against average in the league.
So how about the Carolina side of this? Maybe we should look at that because it's just funny how things have kind of worked out that the owner is saying that he'll never take a defenseman in the first round. Like he just wants forwards to have like fun when he's watching the game. But in the same time, in the offseason, they traded Jeff Skinner, who's absolutely lighting it up. Although granted, you know, he's playing with Jack Eichel in Buffalo, but he's like top 5 in goal scoring in the league. And who's that? And Elias Lindholm as well in the Calgary trade.
Yeah. So that deal has sort of worked out poorly, I guess.
Lindholm, if he stayed in Carolina, not necessarily putting up those numbers, right? Because he's not playing with Monahan and Gaudreau. So it's hard to, you know, really put that on them and kind of assume that Lindholm's the same player. But at the end of the day, they found there was other situations and Carolina couldn't figure out those situations to get the most out of Lindholm and Skinner. And now they're like craving for top 6 forwards. Do we think Niederreiter has a chance to be better than those two players or at least how those two players are performing? Like pretty doubtful. So they're just trying to play catch up here.
Trying to grasp at straws a little bit here.
Yeah. So like, I mean, Victor Rask, I mean, you're not necessarily giving up that much upside anyway. So, I mean, I don't think the risk is that high either.
So. Yeah, so you can sort of see how this deal does sort of work out for both teams because, you know, with Nino Niederreiter, they maybe get a bit of a scoring option. Victor Rask looks like actually on daily faceoffs been listed to be centering the fourth line.
Yeah.
It's not like they've got great center depth as well. They've got Aho, Greg McKegg, Lucas Walmark.
Oh, wow. So that's pretty bad then. I guess Niederreiter is a good guess.
I mean, Jordan Staal's been injured as well, I guess, this year. But
Right. He was doing really well, though, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess his injury has sort of harmed them. So, yeah, maybe if they get Jordan Staal back and he pairs with, you know, because Eric Staal was with Minnesota. Was he playing with Niederreiter?
Yeah, I don't remember. But the thing with Carolina that I just find laughable, it's just like this ongoing narrative that like their defense is somehow vaunted and like is one of the best defenses in the league. And, you know, I think that like Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce and these guys a couple years ago were maybe unknown and underrated because people didn't appreciate and recognize what they did. But at this stage, like, it's not like these guys are lighting the world on fire, putting up 50 points a year. They're good defensemen, but I don't know. It's just, and Justin Falk is like on their third pair, so he's not necessarily like the power play guy that he was a few years ago.
I think because these guys the just Hanifin moved really
for
bad.
Hamilton deal may have been a bit of a mistake as well. Like Hamilton, I don't know. There's something up with Hamilton. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, I think the thing with Carolina defensemen is that they just move the puck really well. And they generate shots. Like, still, like, this year, they're, like, one of the top five teams in 5-on-5 possession stats on shooting metrics. They've been playing a little bit better as of late, but they're still sort of, as of today, they're still 7 points behind the Penguins for a playoff spot. So that's a bit of a gap to make up. They've got a minus 11 goal difference. They are sort of where they are in spite of their shooting metrics. So, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, doesn't that kind of show that it's not just about total shots? Like, the shot quality has to be considered. Like, if their defensemen are just gaining the zone and tossing on net with nobody in front, like,
yeah, I think that's been one of the criticisms of Carolina. And I think even –
it's obviously not working, you know, is my point.
Yeah, and I guess Bill Peters has been, before this past season, or before this current season, Bill Peters was sort of criticized that they do put a lot of emphasis on shot, but shot quality is maybe something left to be desired. But, anyways, I think this deal is sort of a bit of a wake-up call, shake-up type situation for both teams.
It's a change, change of scenery, I think.
Yeah, and who knows? Like, I think both players probably over the next 2 weeks, they'll put up some points. Everyone will be like, this is a win-win situation for these teams. And then I think both players will then sort of just turn into sort of the middling, nondescript, underwhelming guys that they've sort of turned into.
Yeah, I mean, Niederreiter, it seemed like, you know, it was a time that you might think he could get 30 goals in a year, but...
Yeah, he had the pedigree. He always, you know, I think you're more likely to give a guy that's drafted top five in a draft the benefit of the doubt that he's going to achieve that potential. But, you know, when you get to 25, 26 years of age, Niederreiter right now is 26 years of age, and, you know, it doesn't really quite pan out. You just sort of wonder whether... I just wonder whether he will pan out at all, right?
Yeah, I guess Carolina, they just need another first pick. They need Necash and Svechnikov to be like their first line and be legit. And then, you know, we'll see. But I just think that their defense is overrated. And
they've not had great goaltending either. That's one of their weaknesses as well.
True. I think, that's fair enough. But they've tried a lot of different goalies. But, yeah, they haven't necessarily had that go-to guy. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you're off to Portland to watch some Portland Winterhawks.
Yeah, I'm going to watch some Portland Winterhawks. See some Cody Glass, of Vegas Golden Knights prospect. So it'll be interesting having just seen him a couple weeks ago against Team Canada at the World Juniors, and then seeing him in the home environment in WHL. I got to check the schedule of who they're playing, but yeah, it should be good to catch some WHL action. We'll have to go see the Royals. Are the Royals doing pretty good these days, or what?
They've actually been pretty competitive. There's been a lot of talk about the Royals not sort of having the high end talent. And you know, it's interesting. They traded one of their popular players, that's an overager, Dante Hedman. They traded him to Prince Albert.
Yeah,
which was a little bit of a surprise because he's sort of a constant. A threat. He's a guy that's 5'5", maybe 150 pounds, but at the WHL level, he's definitely a dynamic scoring type player, and as an overager, he was sort of relied on. But I guess, the Royals right now are second in their division, the BC division, And yeah,
I think I saw you kind of exploded with a bit of a tweet storm in regards to that Hanun trade. You were not too happy to see him get moved.
I was a bit saddened to see him move because, you know, I have an affinity for those guys that are small, that work hard, that that have a lot of skill, that will never get appreciation from scouts and thus hockey fans because I was like, oh, that guy will never play in the NHL. But the reality is that he was a great player to watch. He was with the Royals for a long time, since like 2013 or 2014. So yeah, it was a little bit sad because I, you know, I moved to Victoria in 2015, 16, and he was one of the guys that I sort of noticed right away. And, you know, he started to develop a little bit of a kinship with those type of players. And so it was sad to see him go.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess chatting a bit. So last night I went to the Canucks Oilers game here in Vancouver, and thankfully my Oilers, Chia's son, scored the shootout winner.
Oh, yeah, and Chia's
son. It was a highly entertaining game. Yeah, Alex, Chia's son, and scored a nice one. It was a good goaltender duel, and yeah, the Oilers are just so up and down, so hot and cold, Jekyll and Hyde, whatever you want to call it. And thankfully, they're on a two-game win streak right now. Koskinen's started the last two, and they have a big game against Calgary coming up here on the weekend. But yeah, it just Chiarelli just seems like he's trying to do anything he can to make something happen and just claim Colby Cave. So we'll see. He looked okay out there. But people talking in the news that everyone's on the table. The first rounder's on the table. So, yeah, the Oilers, I don't know what's going on with them. I just don't understand why, like, if we're going to be pulling all these moves, why Chiarelli should stay in the role. Because even, like, the moves he's doing this year, like, they haven't really improved the team. Like, he's continuing to make the team worse,
like,
you know?
He's strong, sort of, like, churning through moves, right? Because like,
yeah, and every move gets a worse asset, like in the lineup. Like Spooner was like not even playing yesterday, so they traded Strome, who actually was like a decent third line center. Like he wasn't getting the offense going, but I felt like defensively, like he was active in his own zone and he's got the skating. And you know who knows why, but on the Rangers he has been putting up points. And I would have been curious to see what Hitchcock could have done with him. But then you trade him, who's a decent asset, for who's an okay asset. He's not amazing, but you trade him for a guy who's getting scratched. And then we traded Kujula. I don't necessarily think Kujula's doing amazing yet with Chicago, but I guess he had some visa issues. But Brandon Manning has been getting scratched. Yeah. And it's like he's getting scratched, and then I guess Petrovic's injured right now. But Petrovic, I've liked him in the past, but seeing like a little bit of like one of the games he played, he just does seem a bit, like, on the slower side, more of that, like, bruising defenseman. And it's just, like, does Chiarelli just not get it? Like, the things have changed, you know? Like, having these big bruising defensemen isn't a great asset. So then now that kind of situation is out there, and the Manning deal is for next year, too, for 2.5. And it's, like, it's just he's kind of making it worse, you know? It's why not just get rid of him and then get somebody else to use these still variable assets? And I am worried that my son, Yarvi, is going to be traded. Because I just feel like he's been done a disservice. They didn't handle his development properly. I'm watching the other like players out there. They don't trust him. Like there's a short pass available to Puljujarvi. They don't really pass it to him. Like they'll kind of like look him off and then dump it in, you know? And it's like, let's get this guy the puck with a full head of steam in the neutral zone, and he can gain entry. Like, he's really good at gaining entry of the zone. But the other players don't seem to utilize him in that manner. They don't trust him there. And I guess, you know, I'm not saying that Puljujarvi hasn't, like, received the pass and, you know, fumbled it, and then it's gone the other way. And then the guy who made the pass looks bad, too, because he's all involved in the play. So I get why that is, because he's young. And maybe that's why he should be an AHL type thing, right? But it's just if the trust isn't there, that he's not going to have teammates that can play with him. He's a skill player. He wants to pass it back and forth. Then you're not going to utilize his full game. So
what do you think? What do you think they should do with him? Send him back to the AHL, or should they, like, you know? I think it'd be a shame if they traded him without sort of trying to optimize the conditions for him, right? So maybe he's not ready for the NHL level. Maybe there's still things he needs to work on. And
I don't know if it's like, yeah, like, I guess if I was the coach, like, I would almost try to talk to some of the other players and, I don't know, maybe convince them, like, somehow build the trust among the players. Like, that's what I see, that the other, it's not just coaching, it's not just how they're deploying him and who they're playing with. But if the other players aren't going to pass it to you in a tight spot, then you're not going to get the puck on their stick to do what you're good at. Like, when it's a good player, sometimes the teammate might just toss it towards him, like, because they know he's going to pick it out of the air. It's a Patrice Bergeron. He's going to pick it out of the air and he'll have the puck. So they can just wire a pass. But when it's a guy like Puljujarvi, who, yeah, he does fumble the puck and he does make mistakes. And he's like a Bambi out there. He doesn't know how to use his limbs yet. Right?
Yeah, so, whenever I watch him play, he just seems a little bit
he's lost, raw. But it's like, I feel like his teammates aren't helping him be found because they're not trusting him, well, and they're not playing with him. They're not playing off of him. And
maybe
I don't know
if that's
Puljujarvi's fault or if it's a combination, right?
Yeah, maybe they can just loan him to the KHL or something. Just
oh, fuck off, KHL.
Like,
what
I
the hell is
for,
your problem?
Jokerits or something in the KHL.
Get out of here.
Well, you know, like, I don't know what the solution is. He's clearly too good for the AHL. Is he clearly too good for the AHL?
Is he? I don't see why he's clearly too good for the AHL.
Okay, well, send him down to the AHL. Then.
Send him down. I agree. Yamamoto should be down.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell. Yamamoto doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
he doesn't get anything done, and I don't blame him.
So what?
What do you have the size? You got to put him in the AHL.
What do you think about Nolan Patrick? We were talking about that last night, just off the air as well. Like, is that a swap that you could see teams would be interested in, the Flyers and the Oilers? So Nolan Patrick this year, this guy was a second overall pick in 2017.
Yeah.
This year he only has 15 points.
Yeah.
Now he's got some injury issues. He sort of had injury issues going back.
No, I don't think he's had as many as a pro, as an NHLer.
Oh, so he's been healthy scratch this year?
Has he been healthy scratch? Has he been missing games?
Yeah, I guess, he's missed a handful of games, I guess. Not too much, I guess, but.
Yeah, I think, like, I expected him to be, like, you know, injured for half a season type thing. So I guess if he's missing just a couple games here or there, or for a couple weeks, then I guess I'm not overreacting to that, because that kind of happens to every player. But in his draft year, he was injured like pretty much the whole year, and he had an injury in the past. He really had one really good junior year, like not his draft year, but the year before.
Yeah.
He ripped it up in the playoffs, and that's where his entire credit has come from. And obviously, like, his whole body of work in the WHL. And he does get quite a good role on the Flyers. I think he's like often the second line center, playing with like a Voracek. So yeah, it's kind of baffling why he's not putting up the numbers, but
yeah.
I just think he's like one of those guys who's like very good at everything, but
yeah,
he's not like elite at anything either. And when you're very good at everything in the WHL, then I think as a package, you can be elite and have that edge. But in the NHL, I feel like you need to have like some sort of elite skill or elite ability to get over the other teams. I guess in regards to Patrick and Puljujarvi, I mean, I could see the Oilers maybe going for that because, you know, Patrick, I don't know if he's necessarily younger, but I don't know. I think
probably similar.
I could see definitely the Oilers being in on that. I'm not sure. Like, so you think Puljujarvi would fit on the Flyers? Like, I think the Flyers kind of need Patrick to be a center, because when they traded Braden Schenn,
well, they've got
they kind
Giroux
of plugged Patrick
Couturier,
into
right?
Schenn's slot, right?
Yeah, they've got Giroux and Couturier.
But usually they play Couturier and Giroux. Like Giroux, they've been playing more as a winger the last couple of years on Couturier's wing, because I guess as a center, he wasn't necessarily he had kind of a dip in his production. But last season, when they put him back on the wing, when they put him on the wing with Couturier, he had like a amazing year last year, like over 90 points. So I think Patrick, they're kind of counting on to be that second line center. So I'm not sure.
Yeah,
you know,
I suppose
that
it's
would
hard.
Work,
I mean,
but
he's still a young guy, and I guess they have the experience of Couturier also sort of not bringing the offense until a little bit later.
Exactly.
In his career. So whether you want to give up on that kind of potential right now,
I think it's so early for like both these players, and You know, Puljujärvi, that's what you said it right. That it'd just be such a travesty to like give up on the guy when he's like 20 years old. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you're telling me this guy is like a bust because he's when he's 20? Like, you were just saying guys who are 25, 26, in that trade that happened today, that, you know, then there's going to be questions marks of like the longevity of the career. But when a guy is 20, when like he probably, in my opinion, this should have been his like rookie year or his second year in the AHL. So yeah, if you look at it from that lens, I feel like he's not that like far behind. And even like a guy like, obviously like the production is not even in this close, but even Laine, like his buddy Laine, I feel like Laine is not even close to scratching the surface of what he could do. Like his, he goes through like prolonged slumps. And he's very much like still figuring it out. So, I don't know, just Puljujärvi, it just seems like he's trying to figure out A, like how to use his limbs, and B, like how to fit into the team and like fit in with his line mates. And I think part of that is, and you know, I could be wrong, maybe it's all Puljujärvi, but part of that is like getting, I just hope the or the other line mates that he's with look to play with him, you know, instead of just like each individual player following the game plan of like, okay, dump it in, go after it, you know, pass it along the boards to the guy beside you. Like, it's just such a dump and chase game. And I was hoping like Tkachuk would change some of that. But the controlled entries, like basically our three best players, well, at least three best forwards for controlled entry are our centers, right? After that, among our wingers, I feel like Puljujärvi is the best one. So, but they don't use him like that. So, yeah, it's interesting. How that goes, but
yeah,
okay, buddy. Well, it's been great talking, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, great recording. We'll see you next time. Enjoy Portland.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.